is a collect call from
Life of a Lifer.
To accept this call, press 5 now.
Hello, friends and family. Here we are back again, and today is Halloween. So we have a wonderful show today. I got a guest here that is actually, I believe, from Washington State, but moved out to L.A. to pursue what? I don't know, but we're going to find out. And I was a guest on her show, the Hey Human Show. Today I have Susan Root. Hello, Susan. Welcome. Are you there?
Hi, I am here. Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. No, it's a pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. How's everything going today for you?
It's a beautiful day in sunny California, so I'm happy. I just finished up a painting, and I'm sending that out today to someone, so that makes me happy. Life is good.
Really? You're a painter?
Yeah, I do abstract painting along with the other stuff I do.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that you were a painter, too, so you're and you're also a musician, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Songwriter, performing songwriter, and then the podcast, Hey Human Podcast, that you are on. It's a great episode. And I'm also a screenwriter and a comedy writer.
What?
Yeah.
My goodness, a woman of many hats.
Yeah, I have a lot of hats. they all kind of feed into each other because they're all creative hats.
Right. No, I love it. That's great. Well, tell me more about it, though. So you just did this painting. What was the painting?
Someone asked me to paint a painting for their mom for a birthday present, which I did, and sent that out. And then she loved it so much, then she commissioned me for another painting that's larger. And I finished it last night, and I really love the way it turned out. So I'm very excited about it.
That's awesome. Do you have pictures of it?
I do. Not in front of me right now, but I can definitely send one to you for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, and I mean, if anybody wants to see my art, there's a lot of it at SusanRoots.com under the gallery section. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to see if I can get some pictures of that. Check it out.
Very cool.
I really enjoy artwork.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, what got you into artwork?
It was a whim, honestly. I woke up one morning and I wondered if I could paint. And I was living in Nashville as a songwriter. And I just woke up one day and I thought, I thought I could paint. I'm going to try. And so I did. And that started a whole other career path. Additional, not I didn't veer off the songwriting path, but it just expanded what I already did do. So, I mean, they all kind of, like I said, they all sort of feed into each other. Visual art, storytelling, it's all intertwined.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely I think that creative passion is pretty cool that you just woke up one day and decided you wanted to be a painter.
I think everybody's got that in them, you know. It's funny. There's so many naysayers. Oh, you can't do that. You didn't go to art school. Or you don't know anything about anything. But, I mean, the world at large, this is a lot about art because we know that light is up and darker is down. And you know how colors intertwine in nature and I think that everyone has a natural artistic ability. It's more about getting out of your own way, freeing yourself from your own self-judgment.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And so let's talk about, you said that you're a songwriter, that you were living in Nashville, and tell me a little bit about that.
I grew up in Seattle. On the east side of Seattle, and moved to Nashville but I was making records as an artist in Seattle, and then I started writing for other people, not just myself. And so I moved to Nashville, where I like to say it's a master class in songwriting. And I just started doing the writing there, and eventually I got a cut on Reba McEntire and a band called Lone Star, and then I got some Americana cuts and some Swedish pop people stuff, and I had a top 10 in Turkey on an artist named Erdem Kinney. And so yeah, so that was kind of my thing for a while, and I still do the songwriting, but I would say I write much less country, and now I'm really focused on what would be considered either pop or Americana, that genre, more than country genre. I love it.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea that you were such an accomplished songwriter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just keep pushing forward. I wrote a song with my friend Sammy Flatkin to try and get people out to vote. Can I swear on this? Are you allowed to swear on this?
Yeah.
On your show?
Say whatever you want.
Okay, Sammy and I wrote a song called I Can't Fuck You If You Don't Vote. And we wrote that song, and then we made a music video for it, and it's on YouTube, and it's really fun.
How do you find that? That sounds amazing.
Well, we put it out under a band name called Muskrats, which is MUSCRATZ. So it's also on my Susan Ruth YouTube, but it's on the Muskrat page. You go to muskrats.com, you can go to the YouTube Muskrats, and it's on there.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Trying to get people to get out there and vote.
All right. I dig it. I wish I could go and vote.
I know. I wish that, too, for people that have been in prison and then get out, I do think that they should have their voting rights reinstated. That's a real big thing for me. The disenfranchising of people and their voices has gone on long enough, in my humble opinion. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think that, you know, the way that you're advocating and giving a voice to all people through, you know, your podcast and other things that you're doing is great. I really do appreciate it myself.
Yeah, so
I did have a chance to hear a couple of your songs that Cecilia, my wife, played them for me. And I was trying to figure out what type of music it was. So you say it's like a pop Americana. It really has a cool kind of, it's very different, like the vibe to it. I like it, though.
I'm not sure which album.
It's kind of almost an alternative vibe.
Yeah, it depends on, one of my older albums, How to Say Goodbye, has more of a rock vibe, right, pop rock, but the album I put out in 2014 is called All I Ever Wanted Was Everything, and that really has elements of pop and Americana and jazz kind of all woven together. I'm not sure which album she sent you, but yeah.
I don't know what it was either. I said, hey, play some, when she told me that you're a musician, I was like, okay, that's cool, let's hear it.
I like blending genres. I think it does a disservice to music to try and lump things into particular areas. And it also...
I'm with that.
People like John Mayer, who gets to stretch outside of themselves, or even a Taylor Swift, or The Roots, or all these bands, they get told, oh no, you have to stay in your lane, and it's ridiculous. Music is music. It's meant to be experimental. Right. It's meant to stretch and to grow, and so, in a way, genres to me are silly that we even have to, everybody wants to put everything into a box. It's so frustrating.
Right. Yeah, I'm so totally on board with that, because that's what I like. My favorite music is stuff that has blends and influences from multiple genres that are going into it, you know, and collaborations with even from artists from different genres together.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember when Santana put out a record and had a bunch of different artists come together with him, and those are cool records. I love stuff like that. Afro-Celtic music is amazing. The Rude Boy music of yesteryear is, I guess it's still around, but that influence of ska and punk and reggae together is very cool.
Yeah, no, I dig it. Because I was kind of feeling a Celtic, little Celtic vibe in your music, too.
Yeah, I've been told that before. Especially, I have an album called Surfacing the Breeze that definitely has Celtic influence in it.
I think it's great. So you said that you're not only, okay, let me get this straight. You're a painter, a songwriter, but you also do screenplays.
Yeah, I'm finishing up my first screenplay, but I am joining forces with my friend Jessica Walter. She's an extraordinary talent, and we are starting a development company where we can write and try and get our projects out and other people's projects out as well. And it'll be multi-genre again. It's with comedy and thriller and television, film, and streaming-type platforms, YouTube-type platforms as well. That's really exciting. I just finished, I got into the Second City Conservatory in L.A., and so I just finished with that, and they really focus on comedy and sketch writing. It's just that the world is my oyster in creativity, as it is for all of us, and so I like to sit on my toes in. Yeah, go for it.
Man, I respect that so much, and I feel like what you're doing is great. Like, I think that you get an idea, it seems like you just go with it. You don't hold back. You're not scared of failure.
Well, it's not that I'm not scared of failure. I definitely, that's always in the back of any artist's mind. I just know that the risk is worth it, because the worst thing one can say is, I don't like that, or no. And I have a pretty, at this point in my life, I have a pretty decent sense of self that if somebody doesn't like something I do, I may go, oh, well, that's a bummer. But it doesn't really, stop me from telling my story or telling someone else's story. That's why I love the podcast so much. As I'm sure you can attest, because you talk to people, is that other people's stories are so cool, and it's good to get them out there. Voices are meant to be heard.
I love it.
Yeah, we're an oral tradition. Humanity started out with storytelling, and that's a lost art in a lot of ways. And it's nice to be a part of that, continuing on that tradition. Yeah.
For sure. And you know, with the way everything is kind of accessible just to the average person to be able to do something like that is pretty cool too. To where more voices are able to get heard and more stories able to get told.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something like 650,000 podcasts. Is that crazy?
I've never even heard of a podcast until a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I've listened to a bunch of yours. They're great. And I think it's important because you are telling stories from, in a lot of ways, voices that more than a lot of ways, and almost exclusively voices that are being suppressed all the time. So the fact that you can elevate those voices and get them out that's extraordinary work. It's so important.
Well, that means a lot to me that you've taken the time to listen to our podcast and, you know, hear some of these stories and some of these voices. Because it is. You know, a lot of people are getting suppressed, and a lot of voices aren't getting heard, and a lot of people are getting put into a box of, you know, everybody in prison is just a number, and they deserve to be there. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. You can't set up, I mean, they do, but it shouldn't be that you set up a society where if somebody does something against the society and then serves their sentence that you've given them, and then they serve it fully and then get out, or they serve it to the point when they get pulled or whatever and are allowed to get out early or whatnot, that then they've served their time. But there is such a stigma, and you know, people that, you can't get a driver's license, or maybe it's hard to find work once that's on your record, or how are you supposed to reintegrate into a society when the society is actively trying to keep you from, you know, you've made your amends, you've served your time, how are you supposed to then become a part of the society again if they're actively working against it? Makes no sense.
Yeah.
I know, I'm preaching to the choir, I know, but yeah. But I get frustrated at that, hey, for sure.
It's good for people to hear that, you know, maybe you never know who's going to reach who in which way it's going to touch them, you know?
Yeah.
And so I appreciate the words, and I appreciate you weighing in on the matter.
Yeah.
But, so we've heard about where you're from my home state of Washington, up in Seattle, in the big city.
Yeah.
Big city. Yeah, I'm from a little town, but I'm a big city girl there. And you made your way out to Nashville, wrote some hit records, apparently.
When I got the Reba cut, I cried. I sat on my bed and I listened to her singing a song that I wrote, and I cried. It was amazing.
I'm crying for you right now. In amazement.
Yeah. It's quite a feeling.
And now you're doing your Hey Human podcast, and you're about to go into the screenwriting business. I mean, that's pretty amazing. But I would like to hear maybe a little bit of your backstory, like, before you got into that. What led up to that?
Well, I was always singing from when I was small, and I was in a professional touring choir, and it's called the Seattle Girls Choir, which, it was the Northwest Girls Choir, and then Dr. Wright moved and started his own touring choir called the Seattle Girls Choir, and I went and went with him. I mean, my parents were definitely supportive of me. I was the last child, so they were supportive of me pursuing creative endeavors, for sure. It was a tough childhood in some respects. My mom was dealing with mental illness, or is still dealing with mental illness, and that puts a lot of pressure on a kid in a house, and I think that I turned to creative arts as a way to escape. I spent a lot of time by myself in my room writing and drawing and things. Not really a sort of more stick-figure drawing. I was more of a cartoony kind of thing. I hadn't really developed a sense of art until I was an adult. But, you know, I would doodle and that, and writing short stories and things. And that was my escapism. And went to college, and then I, you know, started really digging into my music, and it went from there. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think that is absolutely dynamic, the way that you describe how, you know, your childhood pushed you into the creative outlet of art. And you know, a lot of times I think art is something that it can really save people. Because that, I preach that all the time, like, art changes lives. And art, for me, like, changed my life in a way. And I really, you know, it's great that you went to that instead of maybe turning to other activities.
Yeah, I got in trouble a lot. I did a lot of drugs when I was a sophomore and junior. I dropped a lot of acid. I smoked a lot of pot. And but I grew bored of it. And so I guess I just sort of outgrew that phase. And so I did not outgrow the creative stuff. So although I know that it's, you know, I guess now the research of what psychotropic drugs, you know, LSD and stuff, opens up the mind. I don't regret any of that stuff. I think it took me into a window that I might not have I've been able to peer into, and so I'm happy that I did that. I'm sure it's gonna make my parents very happy, and things could have probably gone horribly wrong, but I managed to keep it pretty tight, you know, my experiences. I didn't go out and about in the world so much where I would, you know, do my thing and just sort of chill out instead of be out in the public.
Well, it's pretty remarkable the way that you followed kind of your passions and turned it into a career.
Yeah, lucky.
Made it. Yeah, that's awesome. Because, you know, a lot of people don't get the opportunity to, or they don't take the opportunity, because, I mean, the opportunity is out there for everybody, but you really did it for yourself.
I think a lot of times we're told that pursue that life because it can be quite feast or famine, that it's somehow less noble. You know, we are a society that, you know, fancy cars and big houses and the pool and the things, the nice bags and all that stuff. And that doesn't really, that's never really interested me that much. So I didn't have to worry about achieving whatever that meant in success. I was able to, I mean, I'm happy eating mac and cheese. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't bother me. I'm just as happy eating mac and cheese as I am a filet mignon. So I think because of that, I was able to pursue a career path that you don't always make money in, because it made me happy. I have had 9-to-5 jobs. I've been a manager at an architecture firm and worked my ass off there. I've done the HR thing, all that. And it's a great paycheck. I was always so miserable. I hated it. So, you know.
Yeah, man. I'm in awe of you, Susan. You're an amazing person.
Honestly, thank you.
It's great. I love hearing your story, and I'm sure that our listeners are going to love hearing about you, too. What we can look forward to.
Yeah, okay. I've got some really great episodes coming up on Hey Human Podcast. I've got a woman that drives the Mars rover and a guy that maps all of Mars, so that's really exciting. And a really cool author that wrote a book called It Happened Here, which is an incredible book about what happens if a Trump-like figure stays in office for the next 30 years. And What Happens to America is a really good book. And then I'm, you know, still writing songs and getting those out there. And anytime I get a cut on an artist, I put it on SusanRuth.com. So you'll be able to keep up with me there. And then just keep writing with the screenplays and stuff. I'm looking forward to that getting done and moving forward with all of that stuff. All of it. All the things are going on.
Yeah. Well, you stay busy for sure.
Oh, man, yeah, big time.
I can't wait to hear more of your music. I might have to tell you if I need some more of your new stuff.
I'll send her a Dropbox with my records in it so you can hear them.
Okay.
Some albums over the years.
Good. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Susan Ruth, for coming on Life of a Lifer. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Everybody go check out Hey Human Podcast. It's a great podcast. She's got wonderful interviews that she does on there. She's a great person, and really, really like this chick. She's something. Anyway, you take care. And this is Lewis Conley on The Life of a Lifer. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I'm Taylor Conley, and this is Life of a Lifer podcast. Be sure to visit the website lifeofalifer.com, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.